our sermon, our message for today. It's coming from Romans chapter 15. We're going to look at the first 13 verses here. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as is written, 'The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me.' For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become the servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promise made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name.' Again it says, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.' And again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, you peoples.' And again Isaiah says, 'The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him.' May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Amen. Father God, we do thank you for your word, and we ask now for that Holy Spirit to be manifestly present, to lead and guide as I preach this morning, so that your people might be encouraged and blessed. Lord, if rebuke is necessary, bring us rebuke. If direction is necessary, give us direction. For that is the way that encouragement comes. Father, help us to walk as you walked this earth. Help us to follow closely in your path. Lord, I pray that as I preach this morning, it might be you that is lifted up and glorified, that nothing of me would come through and remain, but all of you. Father, we give you this time, we give you ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. It's not all about ourselves. It's not all about me. Yet that is the message of today's society. It's the me generation that's out there. Even those who grew up in tough times have become much more self-centered than they were in the past. Things that you wouldn't have considered in the days of the Depression are now considered to be normal or everyday as far as that self-centeredness. There were people who left their families and would go find jobs and would work and send as much of that money home as possible. People did what was necessary so that everybody could get by. It wasn't about all about themselves. They were more concerned about others, about family, about their neighbor. Just met my new neighbor here yesterday. Ed brought him into my office. I waved across the street at him. Donna had gone and had said hi to him earlier in the week. But it's telling us here that I'm supposed to be more concerned about my neighbor than I am about myself. And I tell you what, I fall short on that. I myself convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in the knowledge, incompetent to instruct... We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Starting with the beginning of last week, next week first. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Now this isn't talking about pleasing my neighbor, doing what it is that they want me to do for them, but pleasing him for his good. In other words, doing those things which are loving in their actions. Selfless, loyal, benevolent, concerned for the well-being of another person. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Doing those things which are for his good, that are going to build him up. You know, it's not going to be helpful for my neighbor if I walk over and am not nice. Or if I ignore him when he's struggling with something, doing something, instead of offering to help. But instead of seeking to do what it is I want to do, I'm supposed to be looking around me and seeing, how can I help those around me? Or to bear with the weak. Bear with. It talks about carrying a burden. That's what that word bear means. It's carrying the burden of the weaker brother and sister. Sometimes we just want to tell the people who are weaker just go away. I don't want to carry you. I'm tired. Anybody ever get tired? And you know what? We're going to get tired if we try to do it, try to bear with them in our own. But we're not supposed to be doing it by ourselves and in ourselves. We're supposed to be doing it through the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be receiving encouragement through the teaching of the Word, as we have endurance through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now, the interesting thing here is, it says that all these things came before, were written before so that we could be instructed, so we could have encouragement and endurance. Why do I need encouragement and endurance if everything in my life is going to go smooth and right? Well, it's not. Okay? If anybody ever told you from this pulpit that everything in your life, once you became a Christian, was going to be smooth and easy, that you wouldn't have any more problems, then they weren't preaching the truth. If you heard it from another pulpit, they weren't preaching the truth. If you heard it on a radio, if you heard it read it in a book, that's not the truth. The truth is that you will have trials and tribulations. That there's going to be days that are not nice. That quite frankly, stink. I can even find more adjectives, but we won't go there. Oh, come on, Shelley would have laughed. The fact is, God put His Word there to encourage us because He knew we would need encouragement, because we would need endurance, because things are going to get hard. Why do you need endurance? Do you need endurance for a sprint? No. You need endurance for the long run. There's a lot of people that can sprint 10 yards. I might not be one of them, but a mile? 10 miles? 26.3 miles, or however far a marathon is? What is it, 23.6, 26.3? It's one of those numbers, I think. But a marathon's a long distance. And they run it. I mean, it's not a walk. It's a run. That takes endurance. And it's painful. But when they get to the end, the people who do it say, it's worth it. Now, those of us who don't run, we look at them and say, you're crazy. But it is worth it. See, when we run with God, it is worth it. The endurance comes from Him. The encouragement comes from Him, His Word. He put it here. For our benefit. And so, that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable. I keep going to the wrong... Got the wrong things underlined here because I'm working on next week. So, okay, I'm not supposed to give excuses when I'm preaching. Never mind. We'll edit that part, right? Okay. Rewind. But it is for the Gentiles too. But for even Christ did not please Himself, but has written the insults of those for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. That we might have hope. What's our hope? Jesus Christ, salvation is there for each of us. That I don't have to do it on my own, but that God will do it, has already done it for me, and that I may spend eternity with Him. The hope is there. That's the hope. My hope rests on something which is solid. I'm not talking about maybe stuff, but on the work that Jesus did on the cross. He says, may the God who gives encouragement and endurance give you a spirit of unity in yourselves as you follow Christ. So that with one heart and one mouth you may glorify the God and Father. Ever been through, endured something with somebody else? It either splits you apart or puts you together so tight that you can't come apart. The process is meant for the purpose of binding. When they make Damascus steel, what they do is they take an ingot and they pound it flat. They fold it over. They heat it up again and pound it flat and fold it over. And each folding, you're doubling layers. So literally have 1,000 layers in this steel. It's kind of like puff pastry, only with metal. And these, each layer bound together through the process of heating and pounding and cooling, makes it much, much, much more stronger. And that's the endurance. That's what we're supposed to be like. And it's one piece. Even though it's many layers. And we're supposed to be like that. As we go through things, we're supposed to be being bound together, one on top of each other, closer through the difficult times. This church has gone through a lot of difficult times. The church of Christ throughout the world has gone through many difficult times, but we are supposed to be one body bound together. This we need to endure because we have the encouragement of God's Word, which tells us this is what's going to happen. But this is the hope that's for you. And we can see it and know it and live it. And out of this can come that spirit of unity, which can only come through living through adversity and enduring things together. It can only come from having the unity of the Holy Spirit, one Spirit residing within us and directing us all. For if we have multiple directions, it pulls us apart. But if we have one head giving us one direction, we go in the same place. So we need that spiritual unity. It comes from God when we follow Christ. And then we can with one mouth and with one true heart truly give glory to God. But not if we're living for just ourselves. You see, if I'm self-absorbed about what I want, what makes me happy, and I'm not bearing with the weak, and I'm just seeking to please myself, if I'm not seeking to build up my neighbor and to please him and do what's best for him, if I'm not doing these things, if I'm not loving my brothers and sisters, then I'm not going to have unity. We're going to have divisiveness, a division between us. Because if I'm doing my thing and you're doing your thing, it's all going to be different. Now the hope is bred out of this environment of adversity from which we have where we need endurance. Because again, if there is no challenge, there's no need for endurance. I don't need a lot of physical endurance to take that step. But if I was to walk across the country, that would take a lot of endurance. If I was to walk up several flights of stairs, that takes endurance. Because as you go part way, you know, first step is okay, the second step's not bad, the third step starts getting tired. By the time you get to the 330th step, the legs are crying out and saying, no more. To go farther requires endurance. Requires encouragement. If all you think is, all that I have in front of me is this pain, you won't go any farther. If you think all you have in front of you is pain, you will stop. It's one of the things we use for training children. If you go in this direction, you will receive pain. You do that with small children. That's why you slap the hand when they reach the top of the stove. It's one of the ways that we try to curb our society. There are different types of pain. Becoming a social outcast, removing things that people want. But if you are told that there's a reward, that there's a hope there, people will push through it. People will go through amazing things for hope. Amazing things. And if we're following Christ, if we're walking as Christ walked, in His example, with His leadership. Looking at the hope that He is, what we can go through and what we can do is amazing. We can speak with one voice of the glory of God. And we can and will lead the world to Christ. Hope is the encouragement. That thing which pulls us forward. We don't find hope when we're looking out for ourselves, but when God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, fills us to overflowing. When we walk and when we love as Christ showed us to and as He directs us, that's when we find hope. Let's pray. Father, help us to have hope in our lives. Help us, Lord, to bring hope to the lives of those around us. Not false hope of things that are not eternal, but Lord, the true hope, the real hope of salvation through Jesus, of being reunited in a right relationship with God the Father. Lord, let this hope shine brightly in our lives. For the honor and glory of Your name. Amen.